Lesson number 3, we are sorry. Godly sorrow produces repentance. Sorrow. When we realize that we have done something wrong, perhaps we added up our income tax wrong, perhaps we got a speeding ticket, perhaps we failed to make a payment on the house or the car, perhaps we told a lie. Any of these acts could bring about sorrow. Now, when we get the ticket for speeding, we can be very sorry for the humiliation and the fact that we got a ticket. But we go out to the nearest auto store and we buy another rear view mirror with a resolution, next time I am not going to be caught. This is not godly sorrow. This is sorrow with an ulterior motive, pride, self-vindication. But the sorrow that acknowledges our sin, that does not justify our act, that resolves not to carry out that act again, that kind of sorrow is godly sorrow. Later on in this lesson, we will think of the expression, I have sinned. Saul said, I have sinned. David said, I have sinned. Saul was sorry that he got caught. He sinned again. David was sorry that he had displeased God. By his grace, he did not sin again. This makes all the difference in true godly sorrow. We regret what we have done because it hurts God, and we make up our mind that by his grace, we are not going to do the same thing again. Part number one, why repent? In the scriptures, the word repent means to change one's mind, to change the whole set of one's thinking. What is repentance? Repentance is the resolution that we make after the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ engenders sorrow for our sin. Regret in our souls that we have hurt Jesus Christ and crucified him afresh. The next stage in that thinking is that we are not going to do again, if he will only help us, what has caused that sorrow. It's the kindness of God, Paul notes, that leads us to repentance. Unless a man repents, he goes on doing the same wicked deeds over and over and over again. And while he is doing that, he cannot possibly be saved in the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, as we are attracted to Jesus Christ, the first thing he engenders within the soul of the sinner is regret for his course of action. Now, when do we repent? This is very important. When do we repent? We should repent as soon as the Lord makes us aware that we have done something wrong. We repent, the why of it, because we have sinned. We must repent specifically in the thing that we have done wrong. And we should do it when we are made aware of this. Now look in your experience and you will readily recall that there were some activities in your life that you carried on perhaps for years without sensing that there was anything the matter with it. Perhaps you smoked. Perhaps you broke the Sabbath. Perhaps you robbed God of the tithe. Then you became an Adventist and you only paid the tithe. You didn't give any offerings. You didn't realize that you were robbing God in offerings. Perhaps you weren't faithful with the Lord's Supper and feet washing. 20 years may go by, and then suddenly the Lord makes you aware. In this area, you've got to make it right. And so when God, through his Holy Spirit, calls to our attention what we have done wrong, At that moment, we should repent. Part number two gives us Peter as a example of repentance. Now, Peter, in the judgment hall of the high priests, as he followed Christ afar off, somehow at that time was afraid and was ashamed that he was a disciple of Christ, and cursed and took oaths and swore that he did not know Jesus Christ. And as he looked up, his eyes met the loving, compassionate, understanding, forgiving eyes of Jesus. And that look broke Peter's heart. And he went out and wept bitterly. Wept all that early Friday morning, all the Friday, all the Sabbath. And when Jesus sent the special message of the resurrection on the lips of a transformed woman, he said, "Go tell my disciples and Peter." Days later, by the lake, Jesus Christ indirectly and tenderly reminded Peter of his threefold denial and induced him to make a threefold confession. And Peter realized the route that Christ was guiding him. Part number three, unrepentant Judas. While Peter sinned, betrayed, cursed, swore, denied, he repented. And his repentance was so thorough, his confession was so open and so honest, that he was the acknowledged evangelist on the day of Pentecost, 50 days later. Nobody pointed to him and said, "Look, you cursed. You denied Christ in the upper room." They knew that his confession, his repentance, was thorough and genuine. Now, in contrast with Peter, we look at Judas. Now, Judas has started up with a warning. He was the unnamed disciple who had said, "I will follow you whithersoever thou goest." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but you get nothing from the Son of Man." He looked into Judas' heart and he saw his desire for material and political advancement. And he told him right at the offset, "You'll get nothing of that if you become my disciple." Well, Judas persisted. John tells us that he was a thief and stole what was put in the little treasury bag of the apostolic band. He went to the high priest and he bargained. He got his price, he got his blood money, then he betrayed. And having realized that Jesus Christ was not going to defend himself, he came back into Caiaphas' presence and said, "I have sinned." Now, his statement, "I have sinned," is exactly the same as Saul, of first king of Israel, exactly the same as Pharaoh. There was no godly sorrow. He was caught, he was sorry for the consequences. And therefore, Judas' confession, "I have sinned," led to nothing positive. In fact, he went out and committed suicide. As all sinners do, Judas destroyed himself. Part number four, repent or perish. Every human being is a sinner. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every human being needs to be born again, or else he'll never enter the kingdom of God. Every human being must repent, or he will destroy himself. And writing to the church at Ephesus, Jesus Christ sends a message to them through John: repent and do the first works. Now, these church members at Ephesus had repented, but they had fallen. They had stepped aside from the way. They had moved out of the path of holiness. They were forgetting to do some of the things that they had started to do. We are not told what they had done wrong, but we can make a list very easily. We can give up on prayer, or pray just for a matter of a second or two in a very perfunctory manner. We can give up on asking a blessing at our meals. We can give up on reading the Bible, studying the Sabbath school lesson, regularly attending the church. We can give up on the ordinances of the Lord's house, tithes and offerings. We can give up on health reform. We can give up on our attitudes to movies, to television, to novels. We can give up on giving Bible studies and witnessing. We can fall slowly, little by little. And Jesus calls upon the church whose name is desirable, Ephesus, come back, do the first works, repent, turn your mind from what you are now doing back to me and my idealism, or else the light will be taken away from you, the candlestick will be moved from its place, it will go out. Now these churches, these seven churches in Revelation, refer perhaps to three things. The epochs in a person's experience. Sometimes we are like Ephesus, sometimes we are like Pergamos, sometimes we are like Philadelphia, and sometimes we are like Laodicea. They also refer to epochs in any given church. The church in Newtown, wherever that might be, might start out desirable, might exercise the spirit of Philadelphia, but then might become like Sardis, have a name that it lives but is dead. And, of course, the seven churches apply historically. And I like to look sometimes into my own experience and ask myself, compared with last year, what church would describe my current status? Part number 5. I call thee to repentance, O sinner man. I am not calling righteous. I am calling sinners. How many are righteous? There's none that doeth righteousness. We've all broken the law of God. And the word comes to us, to every man, to every woman, to every child, sometime or other in his life. Listen. Listen. And we should keep our spiritual antenna carefully tuned so that the still small voice, the pulling of the day star might be clearly before us. Part number 6, all should repent. All are sinners. All are not walking in righteousness. All fall every day, and all should repent. Every day I should repent. Every day I should express sorrow for my activities. Every day I should confess my sins. And the Lord's promise to receive me, to forgive me, to cleanse me, will be carried out. Now, sometimes folk have come to me and said, I don't feel that the Lord has forgiven me. Well, feeling really has nothing to do with this. The Lord promises He is faithful and just to forgive if we confess our sins, if we repent. So let's take him at his word. However we feel, however miserable we may be, however sinful we may consider ourselves, let us say, the Lord has promised, I will accept that promise. And this kind of godly sorrow for what we have done to grieve Christ in his Holy Spirit, to disappoint our Heavenly Father, will keep our consciences sharp, our spiritual faculties acute, and will help us day by day to maintain a relationship with God that will bring us more and more into conformity with the life of Christ.